Solomon has always intrigued me. How could God give such wisdom to Solomon and then we see his life turn out the way it did? That's just always amazed me, because one of the things as an elder, as a teacher, as a preacher, as a Christian, we look for knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and Solomon was given a hefty dose of it, right? And yet it didn't seem like that it fixed everything. It seemed like for him it kind of made it worse. I love Ecclesiastes. And you look at Ecclesiastes, you look at Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that a lot of people will go to and they'll get uplifted. You know, if you need encouragement, you go to Proverbs and something, and definitely Psalms. But of course, he didn't write Psalms, but Proverbs. And you look at Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and it seems like they're so totally different, but you know, they're really not. But and Song of Solomon is beyond me. I guess that come from the love that a man has for a woman and the relationship, the correlation between that and the Lord. So yeah, he had quite a few women. I tell you, the general consensus was that Solomon married all these women to bring peace to his kingdom. And although that makes sense a little bit, I disagree with that, because God told David that he would bring peace in Solomon's day. Solomon didn't do this, God did. So the temple. Right. Yeah, he went down a bad path. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's always, he had the wisdom, and that's what I look for. That's what we look for as Christians. And yet Solomon had this wisdom, and yet it drove him to madness. And so Ecclesiastes 7:1-4, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. You know, you read stuff like this, and it's like, gosh, man, it doesn't even really make sense. Why would somebody who had the wisdom of God say that the day of death was better than the day of birth? You know, I've been reading through Ecclesiastes. I think it's only like 12 or 13 chapters. It's not a big book. And I read through it, and then I'd read through it, and then I'd read through it, and I'd read through it. And I keep seeing, you know, where he talks about folly and vanity and folly. And I'm like, I've got to understand what folly is. And so I've just been meditating on this for the past couple weeks. But see, a man, he has this, and people have visions of how their life is going to be, you know, that you get a good job, you marry the girl of your dreams, and y'all live together in peace, and you know, maybe have some kids, and as you get older, life just gets better and better. And I mean, I don't know. That's not the experience that y'all have, is it? That's not the experience that we have with life, with marriage, is it? That's not what we see. What we see with marriages is we see divorce. We see disobedient children. We see a man and a woman raising a child, and they are totally in opposition, and they fight, and the kid is just runs wild. It has no parental base, because the parents disagree, and then we see men running out on women. We see women running out on men, and we see a total collapse of everything. And so all these dreams that we have of the way things that we're going to be, what do we do with them, right? When you have something that's down to your very core that you want to happen, that you believe in, and that you're working your life towards, and then when you get there, you know, it just all falls apart. What do you do with the dreams that you had? Well, as a man, you don't realize it when you're young, but our purpose in life will be to dig holes. And so when you see that man sitting there in silence, and that's where a man can put this together, what he's doing there is he's digging holes, right? The silence for a man is how he heals. You see old people that back in the day, you know, they sit out on the porch. It was with Andy Griffith. We see it in pictures. And at the end of the day, they'd sit out on their porch and they just rock in their chair, right? Smoke their pipe, chew their tobacco, have them a drink, they sit there. Maybe the wife is out there, maybe not. They got an old dog laying at their feet. And this is what brings a man peace. This is when he digs his holes, because he first has to start burying his dreams. And the reason I'm going through this is because we're talking about here, Solomon says, better at the day of death than it is at the day of birth. And the reason is because of all the sorrow between the two. The first dreams that the man has to start burying is his own. Because if he's ever going to get past and be able to do anything, he's got to accept the pain of life that it's going to bring. And in the family, he's the one that shoulders that. Now, right, yeah, and this is what Solomon is saying when he says vanity and folly. But I wanted to put it in a perspective where I could understand and then I could hopefully try to teach someone else, because it's easy to just say it's vanity and folly. Look the word up and that's just what it means. But what is he trying to tell us here? But, you know, it doesn't end with his dreams. Then as the family goes on and the wife has all these visions of the vacations they're going to take, the where the kids are going to go, how great they're going to be, and how beautiful she is going to remain, and all these things that happen, and then this starts falling apart, he's got to start burying her dreams. And this is extremely difficult because he's still burying his, but that's the point. He buries his so he can bury hers. It's really hard to dig two holes at once. This is extremely difficult, but he knew it was coming because he had to bury hers, and he's watching her holding on to things. And so this is what Solomon's saying. But, you know, as time progresses, you think you've dug your last hole. As the kids get out and that you get close to retirement, the house is paid for, the cars are still running. The roof is a lifetime roof. It doesn't show any signs of leaking. Everything seems to be pretty good, and you think that you've dug your last hole. But then you come inside and you sit down with your wife where it's warm, and that's where the folly is because that's not where a man belongs. That's not the life that he lives, because it's not long. There's a knock at the door, and guess who's standing there? It's your child. They're crying. And so you bring the child inside and set the child down where it's warm. Because we didn't see this one coming. This is more difficult because we didn't see this one coming. We thought we had finished digging our holes. So we bring him in where it's warm and safe. We smile, we walk outside, and we pick up that shovel and we start digging a hole again for our child's dreams, because they're so young and they don't understand, nor do they have the strength. See, it's folly for us to think that this life that God has given us, and talking about the day of birth heading to the day of death, it's folly for us to think that everything's going to be wonderful in between there, that we want to skip over the fight and all the fights and the struggles and the pain. We want to be closer to God, but in order to get closer to God, he says that this life must fade away, and we have a hard time putting the two together. And the folly is us thinking that we'll be able to meld these two worlds together. The folly of a man is thinking that his position is a place of safety. No, he's the one that's in harm's way. He's the one that does these things. He's the one that, like I said, he's the one that prepares and he shoulders those burdens so that the wife can do her part. He has to do his part. And the folly is thinking that we can intermingle the two and everything's just going to be all peachy keen. Solomon obviously was looking for something in a woman, and he said that he was looking for a virtuous woman. And he said, of all these women, he said he couldn't find one. And I find that hard to believe, because this isn't a man better than woman thing, just like I will fight against the woman being better than the man thing. Just because it's a woman means the outcome is going to turn out better. What I'm saying is that Solomon was caught in this, and he says, I want to know why. And in his writings, the Bible says that God, I think it's in the last chapter, he says, a tree in the forest falls to the left and there it will lay. Right? It's like, oh my gosh, it's like there's no answers. But there is an answer. Solomon was looking for something. Genesis 4, 20 through 22, and Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. This is Cain's descendants. And his brother's name was Jubal. This was Lamech. He goes on to have the speech that he killed two. He killed a man and for wounding him. This is that guy. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. Verse 22, and as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And you're like, okay, so you're talking about Solomon, you're talking about digging holes, and then you go to this. You see, the way of Cain, they sought after the world. They sought after the shiny things of the world, the fun things of the world, the dancing, the music, the laughter, the enjoyment of life that we see everybody else live. And these things cause the sons of God to become dreamers and follow the daughters of men into destruction. You see, Solomon was trying to figure out his place, and he was trying to understand how come things happened. He was looking for a reason that they happened. Ecclesiastes 2:18 through 19, through all this, he comes to, "Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me." And this is really the pivot point and the center point of this lesson, is that all that we do, all that we try to do, all that we hope to accomplish, it all gets laid at the feet of the next generation. Solomon was looking for wisdom. He was looking for the answer. He was looking for why this happens. And he come to this right here in the very early on in Ecclesiastes, that all that he could do, and he would have to lay it at the next generation's feet for them to do something with it. Verse 19, "And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all of my labor in which I toiled, in which ways I have shown myself wise under the sun." Solomon, in his quest for understanding wisdom, he missed the point of the wisdom of God. Do you know what the wisdom of God is? And we say, well, it's understanding, it's seeing Jesus. And Solomon understood, Solomon knew, Solomon was wise beyond measure. And yet he missed the point to the wisdom of God. He did. It wasn't to give us knowledge. See, that's where Solomon missed it. He wanted answers for himself. He wanted to understand why. It wasn't to give us knowledge and understanding of everything, but it was for us to be able to read Solomon's writing and in everything show God. I'll give you an example. In all of Solomon's wisdom, do you think that he saw Jesus? I think he saw that there was a need for a Redeemer to come, but he couldn't reveal Jesus Christ. In all the wisdom that he had, he couldn't reveal what we know today. God didn't allow him to do that. But in his understanding, his knowledge, and in his wisdom, we read Ecclesiastes and we see a reason for the Savior to come. So he missed the point of the wisdom of God. It's not just to make you smart. It's not just to make you understanding. It's not just to make you strong. It is not just to get so that you can get up here and that you can teach a crowd and save millions of people. You're like, you've lost your mind. This is what I'm talking about, the madness of Solomon. All Solomon's wisdom that he had to lay at someone's feet to pass it on. And so the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of God, what he missed was that wisdom that was given to him was to teach you, not just him. He didn't have the answers to everything. We don't have the answers to everything. We can look for them. We can spend all of our time trying to be righteous, that we're going to put this out of our life, or we're going to put all this out of life, and you're still not going to have all the answers. Solomon said, "Everything that I looked, whatever I put my mind to, whatever I sought out, wisdom and folly and madness, I did all of this and I looked for the answer. I committed my heart to finding the answer." And he had no answer. He had no answer. There was no reason that the tree fell to the left and not to the right. He said, "I saw the wicked prosper in their wicked ways, and I saw the righteous perish. I saw one get stronger, one get weaker. I'd see one live at birth and one die." But he was missing the point. It wasn't to give Solomon the answer to everything. It was so that Solomon could show in everything God. But he lived under the law. And he saw that all the good that he could do still came to death. And it was left up to the next generation to pick up that wisdom and knowledge and do something with it. You see, in all of Solomon's ramblings, where it was like folly and vanity and grasping the winds, and it's all vanity of vanities, and it's all of this, you hear him say over and over again, he showed us the wisdom of God. In all the kings that would come after him, there'd be a good king and there'd be a bad king. See, the goodness you would have thought would have brought on goodness, but the goodness brought on badness, it seemed like. You see that? See, the wisdom of God was to show that God still reigned in the good times and He still reigned in the bad times. And Solomon's wisdom wasn't for him to have the answer of why this was going on, but was to show that God's wisdom was above our wisdom. But Solomon was looking for something. He was looking for something. Ecclesiastes 7:23 through 24, he says, "All this I have proven by wisdom. I have said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find out?" He was trying to understand the deep mysteries of God. And he did everything. He had all the money. He had all the power. There was no one to stop him. Whatever he put his hand to, whatever he could think of, he tried. He tried to find pleasure in this and that. And he did all of this stuff. And he says, "The deep mysteries of God I was trying to find." He was looking for something. And this is what he was looking for. He was looking for the answer to the deep mysteries of God. And he wasn't finding them. Job 11:7, he had the same issues. And Job was way before Solomon. He says, "Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty?" Because Job looked and he knew in his mind, he's like, "This doesn't even make sense. I was a righteous person and I was doing this, but this is not how he talked to God." He said, or he talked to his friends. See, he talked to God and he didn't understand. He pleaded with God. He talked with God. He did all these things. He questioned God. He says, "Why would you do this, right? Why is this happening? What is going on? Why is the ground?" You know, if you read Job, it's just all of this. But to his friends, he didn't talk that way. See, in the wisdom of God, Job in his trials and in his sufferings, he showed God. And that was the point. That was the point. You see, it wasn't about Job getting the answers. It wasn't about Solomon getting the answers. It was about in their life, they showed God in their struggles and in their problems and in their questions. I should have brought up the passage, but there's a place in Job where he questions God. And you look at something like that, how he talked to God, and you looked at how his friends talked to him, it almost looked like that his friends were more religious and closer to God and more forgiven than he was. But see, that's the trick of the devil. That's the trick of the minds, right? Those people weren't closer to God. Job was. Job talked to God and asked why, but when his friends questioned him, he didn't question God. He said, "God is in control." And he said, "I will accept good and I will accept bad." He says, "You think that I was trying to be righteous and I've done something wrong?" He says, "I've always been under the penalty of death." And he said, "That which I have feared has come upon me." But he never questioned that God had the right to do it or not do it. See, we always sum up Job with patience. And we always sew up Solomon with fear God and keep His commandments. And so if I ended that with what Solomon was looking for was an answer, and the only answer, he said that we should fear God and that we should keep His commandments. But these two people, Ecclesiastes shows us and Job shows us, that they were looking for the deep understanding, the deep mysteries of God. And so we look at ourselves, and so we go down this path of knowledge, we go down this path of understanding, and we too are also looking for the deep mysteries of God. But there was a difference, because Solomon said that everybody ended up in death. We don't end up in death now, right? The Bible says that death has given way unto life. Yeah, I'm sure that he read Psalms. Yeah, he did. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 10. Paul tells the Corinthian church, he tells them, they're looking for the same thing that Solomon was looking for, that Job was looking for. But the difference between Solomon and Job, we're different. Because we've received a gift that was promised. He says, I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. See, he didn't stand up there and say that he knew everything. He didn't stand up there. Don't expect me to be able to know everything. Don't expect me to be able to give you answers. And don't expect me not to come to a place where we're in Scripture and I say, I have to do a little research on that. Right? He didn't come to them thinking that he knew everything. He didn't come with excellence of speech. Verse 2, he says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. See, we're looking for that wisdom from God that will make us stand apart. We're not here to stand apart. We're here to show Jesus and make Him stand apart. And we're to do that not in our glory, not in our greatness, but in our weakness and in our fear. And other people should see that we fear God. They should see that in us. But in demonstration of the Spirit and out of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. See, he's saying the exact same thing. He sums it all up that Solomon said, that everything I do come to nothing. All that we can do comes to nothing. Because someone else will live in our house, someone else will drive our cars, someone else will spend the money that we have saved up, and all the treasures that they have, they will go through them and they will throw them away. He sees the same thing that Solomon saw and that Job was looking for. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, they were looking for something. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. He was looking for the answer for the mysteries of God, the deep things of God. He was looking for why. Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. See, this is what Solomon was looking for. He was looking for that oneness with God. He was looking for that answer. He was looking for that mystery that God had set out, how things happened the way that they did. And the Bible says that prior to Christ, that no eye had seen it, no ear had heard it. Solomon struggled with it. Job struggled with it. All of the Old Testament saints struggled with it. And people will tell you that, oh, that's talking about heaven. We just can't figure out what heaven is. But that's not what he's saying here. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. You see, Solomon was looking for something. Job was looking for something. They were looking for the deep thing of God. And that answer is that we're incomplete without the Holy Spirit in our life. We are incomplete without God. You understand? What Solomon was seeking was that oneness with God again, that closeness with God, that right relationship with God. But it was held off from him because Christ had not come. Sin had not been done away with. Job was looking for the same thing, the deep mysteries of God. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit in us reveals those deep mysteries. The Holy Spirit in us shows us the things of God that Solomon looked for in his wisdom, that Job pleaded with God to understand. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit in us shows us the deep things of God. We're incomplete without God. That's what we're looking for. That's what Solomon was looking for. He was looking for the answer but he didn't know the question. And he thought with the wisdom that he had that he would be smart enough to see it. We look in the Old Testament, we see all the things that the people did Jonah when he ran from God, when we see Moses and Abraham when he refused to have a child circumcised, and we see Sodom and Gomorrah. We see all these things from God, and it's like all these events that happen, babies getting killed, and when Israel attacked nations, and all the, it's just like, you didn't understand all this. You were looking for answers. The Holy Spirit gives us the answers, that we're back now in a right relationship with God. Solomon was looking for that. Job was looking for that. But they couldn't find it, even with all the wisdom that they had, because God had not revealed it to them. But now we have been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And you think, well, gosh, that's kind of a anticlimactic ending. But you know, you get preachers up here and you get people up here that have the book open and they have the cross on the roof and all this stuff, and they preach such a great sermon, and people are on the edge of their seats. On the edge of their seats. And the answer to bringing them into God is the Holy Spirit. And they deny that with people. They deny that with people. So people keep coming back and they keep looking and they keep waiting and they're hungering for something that the guy standing up here like me never gives them. He never gives them. And so they get on a path, and they go down a path like Solomon did, and they start looking for answers. Where's God in my life? Where's all this? And the answer would have been found had you given them the keys, had you shown them the answer to the mystery that God in Christ was going to put back together the Jew and the Gentile into one body, and that body would be called a Christian. There would be no Christian without the Jew. There would be no Christian without the Gentile. And there would be no Christian without the gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. That was the answer. That's what Solomon was looking for. That's what Job was looking for, this deep mystery of God. And the Bible says here in Corinthians, but God has revealed them through the Spirit that searches out all things, yes, the deep things of God. So, now, when you want answers, God will show you. The more you want to know, the more He will show you. But understand this. All that you have learned, Ecclesiastes says, the best thing that we could ever hope to accomplish is someone to pass that wisdom on to. For somebody to learn something and for you to be able to share. So don't look for the answers. Look for the journey that is to share the wisdom of God among other people, for us to grow, for this body to grow, for our minds to grow. And it's not about us, it's about being able to show the wisdom of God to others. Because in all of our struggles, we understand the deep mystery of God. And that is that this world is passing away. We our minds are set above something else. Our minds are higher than this. Solomon was looking for answers here. And the answers aren't found here because this is only temporary. He had the law. And you know what the law showed him? That the best that he could see was that he was a sinner and he was destined for the grave. But Christ saved us from the law. Christ saved us from the grave. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?